Good morning, Sheldon.
Run into the sun.
Run to the sun, which it sounds like you're doing in California.
We got plenty of it right now. It's beautiful.
Beautiful. You can send it up here to Seattle. I think we need some today.
Well, you guys, it's the dark grayness. You guys are, that's your deal, isn't it?
We give it to the rest of the world. We get enough as it is. Just 1 or 2 hours a day is that's all we need. But hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to those that are listening either live or maybe later on the recorded version of the show. Welcome,
Of
welcome, welcome.
course, radio.
Of course, radio, where we talk about forgiveness and A Course in Miracles.
Things about the Course in Miracles and all that other
Yeah.
good stuff.
That's right. And we have a very special topic for today's show. We're going to be talking about what would Jesus think? Not what would he do, but what would he think, which is in alignment with A Course in Miracles, which is all about a course in mind training.
So, are we just going to throw down the whole book and go there? That's what he would think?
Boom. Well, I think,
It's like a
yeah.
mic drop. Here's the book drop. Bam!
Kind of,
There you
yeah,
go. That's it. I told
exactly,
you about
yeah.
it. Think that's it right there. Read it.
Well, I think what we're going to
Read it.
attempt to
Do it.
do
Live it.
today
Be it.
is apply it to, very specific things that are going on in the world today. Because if you're new to A Course in Miracles, it can be a very daunting book to not only read, but also figure out how to apply it to the world of illusion that we see, especially in your day-to-day life. So we thought it'd be, interesting to kind of get into the mind of the religious historical figure of Jesus or Yeshua, if you will. And, if he were alive today, how might he walk about his day and apply A Course in Miracles? So it should be fun.
Yeah. Awesome.
I
It'll be
can't
interesting.
wait to hear what you have to say on the topic, Sheldon.
I can't wait to hear what I have to say either. It'll be interesting.
It will be.
I'm hoping somebody will call in.
Yeah, actually. And though that's a great point. And if you would like to call in and participate and offer opinions or have questions, you can call in toll free at 888 627 6008. That's 888 627 6008.
Cool. But we always start with.
Quotes from A Course in Miracles.
We do. That's how we roll here.
That is. And did you ever find your copy of A Course in Miracles?
I found the hardback, but I never found the softback copy. It is not returned to me. It's
Oh,
gone.
man. It's in the ethers.
It's, helping somebody along their path. That's what I say. Providing them with love and light. So, did you find your quote?
Yes, sir.
You want to
Do
go?
you want me to read it? Okay.
Sure.
So the quote that I found for this week is from the text, chapter 16, section 6, paragraph 2. And it is this: love is freedom. To look for it by placing yourself in bondage is to separate yourself from it. For the love of God, no longer seek for union and separation, nor for freedom and bondage. As you release, so will you be released. And there it is.
Sweet. Awesome. All right. So does that mean it's my turn?
Yeah.
So I have, darn. Chapter 6, The Lessons of Love. Section 1, The Message of the Crucifixion. There's a lot here that I was wanting to share. We talked about it in the group this last Wednesday, so I guess maybe that's why it's fresh on my mind. I guess I'll read paragraph 4. It says, because he's talking about, he had previously concentrated or discussed or talked about the ascension, and now he's talking about the purpose of the crucifixion, and that it generates fear. And fosters fear and then anger as a result of the fear. and that it's a matter of what you're looking at. And then it says, assault can ultimately be made only on the body. There's little doubt that one body can assault another and even destroy it. Yet if destruction itself is impossible, anything that is destructible cannot be real. This destruction, therefore, does not justify anger. To the extent to which you believe that it does, you are accepting false premises and teaching them to others. The message of the crucifixion was intended to teach that it is not necessary to perceive any form of assault in persecution because you cannot be persecuted. If you respond with anger, you must be equating yourself with the destructible and therefore regarding yourself insanely. I have made it in the first part of paragraph 5 is I've made it perfectly clear that I am like you and you are like me, but our fundamental equality can be demonstrated only through joint decision. I think that's good.
Very cool.
That one is a doozy.
It is. And you're currently going through that section in your study group?
You know what? It came up. This whole crucifixion thing comes up for me all the time, though. I always bring it up because it's like, such a doozy.
It is, yeah. How does it come up for you?
Well, when I first read that, and I think there's a lot, I think it might be earlier where he talks about, you know, that there's, you can't be assaulted. Mm. And that it was a demonstration that there was never, that there's never a circumstance in which judging and condemning your brother is appropriate. That there's never, and I think we might have mentioned it in the show, because it's one of those things that I always sort of keep in my head, that there's never a circumstance when judgment and condemnation is appropriate.
Right.
There just isn't. For yourself either, right? Especially.
Yes.
So self-judgment, self-condemnation is never appropriate, regardless of the quote-unquote behaviors, and that's so fundamentally it shifts everything so fundamentally that it's difficult to comprehend. It's impossible to comprehend, but it is possible to feel. And that's the whole thing about getting out of your head and into your heart. But it made me cry. It was one of those things that made me start shaking and I start crying. And it was just so incredible. And then I think I was talking in the group about, you know, being, you know, going to a military school, serving in the Navy, all that stuff, and, you know, doing martial arts. It's just so much warrior kind of aspect to my thought process, you know, not allowing yourself to be made fun of or punked or, you know, taken advantage of and all of those and those kinds of dynamics. And then to see and hear and feel something like that teaching is so huge. That it just uprooted me on a really deep level, and it would feel like that's impossible. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and it's always a good reminder to go back to, you know, the basic metaphysics of the Course, which is a reminder that there's only one of us out there. And so if we buy into the fact that we think that we are all these different bodies and that it's okay to condemn a different body or even your own self or body, then you're just buying into that this illusion is real versus the reality. The true reality is that you're still home with God in heaven, which is what the whole forgiveness is for, is to remind yourself that that's where you're at and your brothers and sisters are at.
That crucifixion thing coupled with that, in my defenselessness lies my safety.
Mm-hmm.
That one was the other mind bender for me. Just like, how is that possible? How is that possible to be open? And then that is where safety is, in openness. And yet that has been, you know, my experience now of feeling the openness in the heart, in the heart space. And that's kind of what I use as my gauge of if I'm in alignment, is whether the heart feels open or closed. And you can feel it shutting mm-hmm. down when you're going into judgment and anger. And then opening up, right? So
definitely.
That's so it becomes really simple at that point. It's like, how does that feel in the heart space? And if the heart space is closing, then there's something going on in you. Anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Here we go. We're getting right into it, but we're supposed to be We have a format we need to stick to it, right? With absolute severe rigidity.
Or there will be strict punishments doled out.
Exactly. Or not.
Or not, yeah. Should we risk it?
Do we want to?
Oh, I suppose. Do you want to do a meditation, Sheldon, or skip it?
Let's do it.
Okay. So I'll do the meditation then this week. I think it is my turn. So go ahead and get settled, get comfortable. Obviously, for those that are driving or might be doing something right now, you can skip it for now and go back and listen to the recorded version. But for those that are at home and can do this safely, go ahead and get in a seated or laid down position and go ahead and close your eyes and take a deep breath in and slowly let it out. Just let go of any tensions that might be held in your body. And while you're doing this, just call in the Holy Spirit with Holy Spirit, come. And just notice how that feels. Notice how that energy feels. Where that energy might reside in your mind, in your body. Just allow that in. Invite that into your mind. Allow that into your heart center as well. Imagine this energy filling your heart, filling your mind, filling your entire body. Filling completely outside of your body. Even filling your entire room. Filling outside your room. Filling the entire planet. Filling what you could imagine would be the universe and spilling even outside the universe. Spilling across what you could imagine to be the bridge that touches the gates of heaven. Connecting you now to heaven, to the Father, to God. And imagine what this feels like, this connection that you always have with home, this connection that's always available to you, this natural state. And imagine, if you will, this connection that's been created, that you can send over any concerns, any fears, any health issues that you have, or maybe that your friends have, or family members, and just unburden yourself, unburden your mind, and send them over. Ask for help. Or maybe ask for things that have been depleted to be fulfilled or refilled. Just unburden yourself and just know that these will be taken care of for you. That there's nothing for you to fear or to lack in. That you are whole and complete as you are. And in this place of wholeness and health and peace and love and joy, return that thought system back down to this place where we live, back down to all your brothers and sisters. Remind them that they are perfect health and wholeness, that they are perfectly forgiven and loved, that they are perfect joy and perfect peace. That there is nothing for them to fear or to hate. That in this instance, they can simply love and feel joy and peace. And allow this to flow from your mind and your heart to theirs. And imagine, if you will, this, even this idea of flowing into their separate minds to combine into one single mind. And return this back to heaven so it can be healed in its proper form. And enjoy how this feels. And know that you can return to this place whenever you would like. Just spend a moment in this place. And know that you can return here whenever you would like, in your own mind or in your own heart. And now just return your attention back to your own breathing. And return back now your focus to where you're at in your own room. And you can start to wiggle your toes and your fingers and return your attention back to your body, but still remember where you were just now and knowing that you can return there wherever you would like. And welcome back.
I was out.
You fell asleep on us?
I got knocked out.
Got KO'd?
Yeah, for a little bit there. Wow, that was cool.
Do you remember your name?
No.
So, and that's been happening to you lately?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll go really deep and then it'll just like, bam.
Mm-hmm.
KO'd.
KO'd.
That was cool though. That felt great.
Good. And when you say you're KO'd, do you have a sense of where your mind goes or what's going on for you? Because I would imagine other people are experiencing this now or have experienced this.
It's not falling asleep. It's kind of like you're right in this weird, you're kind of like, it's almost like that halfway space, right? Where, you know, you are falling asleep and you're like La La Land right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like that. Like I can hear things. I can hear the whole meditation. I can hear the guidance. I'll be aware of it all, but I'm mm-hmm. just like out on a pretty deep level. Like I've done it before where people were guiding meditation. I'll hear the whole thing, but I won't remember it. But I'll know that when I was there, I heard it. Like I know
yeah.
I heard it.
And then, yeah.
But whoa, you know, did you do this? And like, no. But I heard it. I knew I heard it. It was just like really weird. It's interesting.
Yeah. Wow. And because I know that you're still leading course groups. Does that happen? Like, so when you're actually leading a meditation yourself, I'm assuming you're still pretty present, but do you kind of go off a little bit in your own world when you're leading a meditation?
I have almost. So usually in the group, it'll be kind of guided. Stuff will come out and I'll say stuff and then it'll mm-hmm. go quiet for a while usually. Mm-hmm. And I've had it almost happen during that part.
Interesting. Yes, yeah, so you go pretty deep even when you're leading a meditation.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. It doesn't feel too different.
Wow, interesting. Do people come up to you afterwards and tell you that they feel like they go pretty deep when you're leading meditations?
I don't know. I think they do. I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you should ask them next time. Yeah.
People seem to enjoy it and they'll go, oh, that was nice.
Yeah, cool.
You know, so I think people enjoy it. It would be a kind of a bummer if they didn't. Yeah. Wow, it's been sucking all these years, man. I just don't want to say anything.
People just grit their teeth and they can't wait to get through it.
What would Jesus say about that?
What would Jesus think? What if he was sitting in your group at your course study group? Yeah, I wonder what he would be thinking.
Well, let me ask you.
What do you think, Sheldon?
But you've been writing a book about the guy, right?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because that's kind of what prompted the show topic. Yeah, because I'm literally probably, you know, like a few pages from being done with this draft novel. And it's been an interesting journey because actually it's in the point of view of both Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And probably I'll write a few pages from the perspective of like their combined Holy Spirit, I guess, point of view. But it's been interesting. And I think I'm going to go, obviously this is a rough draft and it's going to be flat in some areas. And I'm going to go back and add a little bit more personality and depth to it. But it's been really interesting to just sort of guess, I mean, really at their personalities and how they might think about going about their days. And also, I mean, I'll be honest, I was a little hesitant to sort of like reinterpret, you know, pretty famous historical or biblical stories that a lot of people have heard over and over again. But now, at least I'm not aware of too many people that have attempted to try to write things literally from their point of view, at least try to get inside their head, right?
Right.
Maybe there's stuff out there. I'm just not totally aware of it. I think A Course in Miracles is the first thing that I've ever read that's literally from the mind of like Jesus. And so, but like the Course, it's written so, in a lot of cases, metaphorically and pentatonically, that it's kind of hard to digest. Mm-hmm. So like in the novel, it's going to be more matter, you know, just try to be like in more layman's terms and you know, try to be a little bit
so
humor.
You've given Jesus a personality,
which can be dangerous, right? It's yeah.
And what is that like? What does that come up like for you?
Well, I do think he would have a sense of humor. Like even back in the days of walking around in the desert in the dirt, you know, with sandals and being a Jew. I think, you know, there's going to be similarities. You know, I think he had to deal with a lot of people with their egos, right? You know, he had to deal with people that felt that at the time, you know, Jewish scripture was law. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, there was this huge corrupt political system, both within the Pharisees and Sadducees, and you've got this Roman Empire, right? There's this kind of double political religious system going on there, the Roman gods, the Roman political system, Jewish law, religion, and their political system. And everyone has their opinions, their egos, and he was always having to deal with that, everyone's opinions and laws and trying to trip them up. And he, you know, he was living in his own little world, right? I would imagine he was his own little rebel and just never played by their rules. And he was probably always upsetting people, but doing it from a perspective of love and humor, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I think he would have to be.
Mm-hmm. But I also would think he would challenge people and not be afraid to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think laughter is an aspect of joy and bliss, right? That's where the whole laughter yoga and all that kind of stuff, that and that whole saying that Buddha laughed for 2 weeks after he, you know, woke up and all that. That
yeah.
That there's a lightness in the quality of, and then they say that in the Course, that seriousness is of the ego, right?
Yeah, that's, definitely.
That's in there somewhere, right? I don't remember.
You know, I'll be honest. I don't know if it says it specifically, but that makes sense to me because there's that one passage that says, you know, what, I can't remember the exact phrase, but it's, or, you know, well, like one of the biggest tragedies is that the ego forgot to laugh or something like that. I think you know it better than I do. I can't remember.
The mind of God imagines separation.
The Son of God, forgot to laugh. That's what
At which the Son of God remembered not to laugh.
Remembered not to laugh. Yep, exactly.
And that was the one that I remember, you know, in a reading that over and over again. I go, what does that mean? Did they make, was that a mistake? It should have been forgot to laugh, you know? And then that it was actually super important that the whole notion of forgetting and forgetfulness is not an aspect of God.
Mm-hmm.
And unity and oneness, that's not part of that aspect, that there's no such thing as a mistake. right? Mm-hmm. Yep. So that the dream of separation, so the Son of God had a dream of separation, at which Son of God remembered not to laugh, that there was this intentional aspect of seriousness that created this guilt and bam and all those products that came as a result of that. So that's why laughter and, you know, joviality of Jove and all that, you know, is an aspect of undoing that.
Mm-hmm.
Of remembering to laugh.
Exactly. Yep. And I think, you know, I always struggled with the language in this book that I was writing. Like, I think I didn't like to call the people he surrounded himself with as followers, more as friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the people he surrounded himself with also had a variation of personalities. Like, I think some of them were very serious and conservative, and some had really good sense of humor and really did understand his teachings, and others, you know, kind of struggled with it. And I think, you know, you would see a variation of personality there. Like, some of them, like, I felt
for sure,
like Thomas was like a really good friend of his and was really funny, and others were more serious and more kind of like, I'm here to protect Jesus. Like, I really think he's a special dude, but I'll knock out anybody that tries to, mm-hmm. to, you know, get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then thinking about, okay, well, how what was he like back in those times? And then what would he be like now? That's kind of what I thought we could explore in today's show. But
don't they have those sayings where they say, if he knocked on your door, you wouldn't let him in?
Well, yeah, there's a great line in a song by the band The. And I think it goes something like, if Jesus were alive today, he'd be gunned down cold by the CIA.
Ouch.
I think that's so true. I mean, you know, you look at a lot of, I hate to say it, but probably a lot of conservative Christians, and if probably Jesus were walking around today, they would be like, that guy is a blasphemer, which is what he was called way back then.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think anybody espousing and leading with true love would just be pushed aside, because that's not what's supported and cheered on in today's world. I mean, hell, look at Donald Trump. Jeez, great example. To me, I can't understand how there's so much support mm-hmm. around something like that.
Mm-hmm. Because there's so much fear out there.
Well, yeah, and there you go.
That's the bottom line, right?
You know, yep.
It's incredible, but it is what it, that's, you know, that's what it is.
Right. Go ahead.
And so the Jesus being what? A pretty rebellious character
mm-hmm.
For his time, right? Rebelling against institutions, essentially, and not conforming to the institution and the dogma of the day and the time,
mm-hmm.
would you be doing the same thing today?
Right, because I think today, I mean, quite honestly, I think the reason why A Course in Miracles was written is to correct how the New Testament was written, because it's still very much, the New Testament was written basically saying bodies are real. Sacrifice yourself for God. And the whole message is, wait a second, time out. Bodies are not real. God does not want you to sacrifice your body. That's not what he's asking you to do. In fact, I did not sacrifice my body. My teaching was actually trying to tell you I didn't sacrifice anything. I was so much aligned with God and love. That's all I felt. I felt no pain.
Mm-hmm.
All I felt was love. It was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's what I want you to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually was love so much that I rose from the dead. That's so beautiful. I mean, mm-hmm. I think about that now, and it's just so beautiful to me. It makes me want to cry. It's amazing.
It is incredible.
And that's not what people focus on. They focus on the Mel Gibson, he was bloodied to a pulp, and mm-hmm. that's what people think is amazing. It's like, no, dude, that's not it.
Mm-hmm. And that he was such a pure, the manifestation and the intention of that and the clarity was so clear and so strong and so clearly held that that the demonstration of what was real came through.
Right. And
it's just incredible, right? I mean, that's the same thing for me when I was reading the whole thing about the crucifixion. It would just make me cry over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, because I think when you contemplate that and appreciate that and are with that teaching, it's so profound and it's so beautiful. And it's the love is so incredible that it's like this octave of love that is like, wow, and it blows your mind open. Right? Mm-hmm. It can shut down your mind and it blows your heart open.
Yeah.
And you're literally stunned into this incredible sense of awe and amazement, even though, of course, they say reserve awe for God only.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? And he says you can, you know, love me only because I love you so equally and more or something, you know? Right? That there's a sense of respect and love and deep, profound love. But awe is reserved for the creator.
But right. Anyway. Yeah, and I think that's where like the ego mind wants to go to. Well, you know, it's kind of like if someone was that aligned with God, why doesn't he just walk around and just touch people and make them change their minds so that they're not hateful and go to love? And I think, you know, the Course is pretty clear about that, about how the Holy Spirit and God is very patient, and they're not going to just like violently shake a fearful mind awake from the nightmare. They're going to gently call the mind up, you know. So all Jesus did is he walked around demonstrating love, and so he just planted that seed, you know, in the minds, in the case of when, you know, he was alive as a body, in the minds of the Jews and the Romans of that time. So that as they were, you know, going through their cycles of rebirth, he had planted those seeds, and those people were then replicating what they had learned through the other people that they interact with in their relationships. And that's how we get like the Gary Renard books, things like that. Any thoughts, Sheldon? I think we might have lost Sheldon. But I think...
Oh, are you there?
Yeah, there you go. You back? Sorry,
yeah. Interesting. It's all about planting the seeds. That's what I was
saying. Planting the seeds. Okay, there you go. Yep. Exactly. Yeah, and I think that's... He would do the same thing today. I mean, I don't think he would walk around being very dramatic. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he'd make some Facebook posts. I'm not sure. But, you know, I think he would still be doing what he would had been doing a long time ago, just practicing forgiveness, mm-hmm. you know, demonstrating love no matter what. He would be loving like a Donald Trump just as much as he would be loving a Hillary Clinton. There would be no one more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he would challenge both of them equally.
Sure.
And how they were going about demonstrating their own version of love. True. Which is why both sides would probably attack him equally, I would imagine.
Now that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or would he want, would he disengage or would he be fully engaged? Or how would you imagine that?
Good point. Yeah, good point. I don't know. I think, yeah, he would probably be like on a fringe. He would not be part of like a political system for sure. Mm. Yeah. I think that's a good question. Yeah, would he be like some sort of a religious person? That would be known somehow, or maybe show up.
I think the full embodiment of the light of the Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is what the process, what the purpose is about. Embodying Christ now for all of us, for each one of us, right? Mm-hmm. So. I guess the question becomes, does the embodiment of the Christ require a change in external circumstance?
Right.
And, you know, I think it would be completely individual. For some people it does, and for some people it doesn't, and it depends. I don't know, you know.
Right.
I think it says that in there, that your special function may or may not change. Your one purpose, your true purpose, is realization of the full embodiment of light of Christ. And so that's like the true purpose of why we're all here. But in alignment with that, your special for function, which is like your job or your family or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Then those may or may not change. I'm almost positive that's what it says. But it doesn't necessarily change, but for some people it may.
Yeah, I think like the historical, my understanding of historical, the way he originally came in, and I kind of understand the way the Gary Renard book was written, is his father was really more of a stonemason versus a carpenter. And historically, he would have been just like a stonemason with his father. But really, right off the bat, he was pretty much kind of chose that, hey, I'm really more of like a rabbi. He kind of came in with a lot of knowledge. And I think he just kind of started soaking up a lot of different knowledge. I think it sounds like his parents probably recognized that. So it's almost like he sort of chose his own, like, vocation, I guess you'd say, and probably helped his dad too. He probably learned how to be a stonemason, but sort of did his own, chose his own path, because I think he came in pretty enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of my understanding. That's my guess. That's kind of how I guessed into it.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the opening of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the radiance from the heart, from the light, from the heart. What does that, you know, what does that call you to do?
Mm-hmm.
As an embodied Christ?
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, probably why it might be for some people a little bit more difficult in today's day and age, especially because there are so many more distractions. Back then, I think it was probably easier to just be quieter for longer periods of time. Like, I do think personally, or just the way I intuit is, I do think that the days in the desert that Yeshua had, and probably Mary as well, you know, played a big part in opening, like you had said, you know, the heart, so that they were able to complete that connection with God, so that they just completely were able to associate themselves with Spirit 100% in that lifetime.
Do you, how are you portraying Mary Magdalene?
As his wife and equal, basically. Mm-hmm. Although I do in the book show her that she kind of reaches her full enlightenment after Jesus's ascension, when she's in later on in France on her own.
Mm. Cool.
But that she was also teaching alongside Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I think that was important, that in that time frame, that they were equals. And I think that was some of the friction between that big group of friends, and that there was always a good number of men and women following them around. Which was part of the controversy, I think, that they brought when they were visiting the different areas in Judea at that time.
How would she be today?
Mm.
The same?
Great question. I think she would definitely be accepted a heck of a lot more than she was back then, for sure. Although I think when she lived in what was now southern France, seemed like, my feeling is that she was accepted there, like right off the bat, which was interesting.
We're gonna go check out the cave.
I would love to. I that's one thing that I think I would love to do before, if I could, before this book comes out sometime next year. I think it would be amazing, because my impression is this woman was just as enlightened as Jesus was before she literally left her body in that lifetime. Like just as equally enlightened, pretty incredible. And I think they both had so much love for each other, and everyone as spirit is just amazing. I don't know, have you ever like researched much about her or had thought much about Mary Magdalene in that way?
The JM download, he had that one where he is, JM Way of Mastery. And he has a channeling where he's channeling from the south of France, I believe. Mm. And he channels Jeshua talking mm-hmm. about and describing his relationship with Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, I remember seeing that one. That was really good.
Ooh, and that one was one of those that made me cry.
Yeah.
And he says there, as you know, JM is channeling Jeshua, and he says, if there is anyone I quote unquote looked up to as my equal and as the full embodiment of the light of the Christ, it was her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making me want to cry right now. He said, if there's anybody there's nobody that more fully walked it and embodied it than she did, because she lived for like 40 years after. So he was saying, and he even mentions that in some ways her role was harder than his. She spent more time in this dimension, this level of form and creation, embodying that light. And then, you know, when you look at how traditionally depicted and all of that kind of stuff, it's like, oh my God, that also gets, you know,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Clearly a lot of the Yeshua message and her gospel was destroyed or distorted, you know, the years after Jesus's death or her death, clearly. And it's interesting, you know, how thousands of years later that either channeled messages or now thing, well, it's all channeled, I guess. Just all this stuff is kind of recorrecting the history part of it, which is really, I find fascinating. It's pretty cool. At least for me, it feels a lot more accurate than like what some of the stuff that I'll read in either history type books or even like the Bible type stuff. So it's interesting.
Right.
And that's why I think it's a great point that you brought up, because what a power couple. I mean, how many
the
male,
ultimate power
female,
couple.
Yeah, I mean, really, when you think about it in the world today.
That's the ultimate power couple right
how
there.
How many couples do you see out there that are bringing in peace and love together? Not a whole lot of examples, really, when you think about it. There's a lot of individuals, but not a lot of couples, especially male, female.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be really interesting, maybe to even have a show just on that topic. How could the male-female aspect and bringing love in that way?
We have...
oh, yeah. Awesome.
Like caller
on. Caller, John calling.
Awesome.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
Hey. Hey, just want to say I'm glad you guys are back on the internet again.
Well, yeah. Thanks.
Missed you guys. You're awesome.
John. Awesome.
And... yeah, it's really been, your program's really been helping me understand Course in Miracles.
Cool.
Thanks, John. Good to hear from you again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I started doing it about the first time I heard you guys, which was maybe a year and a half ago. Is that right?
How's the process been going for you?
Yeah.
Pretty good. I remember when I first called in, I was just, you know, the workbook lesson, almost the first one where table doesn't mean anything, and I had a hard time getting by that one.
That's a tough one, yep.
Yeah, and now it's starting to make sense, and the whole thing is, if I remember to do it.
Great.
That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
If we remember, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're all sons of God. It's all an illusion. Don't get too upset about it.
Until that person pisses you off, and then it all flying off, and then we're all just like, right?
Yeah, I've done that a few times.
Yeah, we all.
I just want to thank you.
Yeah,
coming back on the program again.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know if are you part of a group out there or if you're interested. I am. Scott sometimes Skypes in to the group on Wednesday nights out here in the Bay Area. And so if you wanted to do a Skype video conference in, that is something that's possible at this point.
Okay. I'd like to do that. Not that far away from San Mateo.
Yeah, we do. But if you didn't want to drive and you wanted to just Skype in, you could do that. We are Wednesdays 7 to 9 p.m. So, and I'm bringing the laptop, and Scott sometimes joins us when he can, and sometimes he doesn't. But it's available. So, yeah, if you wanted to send us an email, Scott, what's the email for us?
The email is info@ofcourseradio.com.
All right. Fire
an email. I'll do that. We can get you set up and on my Skype account here. And then, yeah, that'd be awesome. Would love you to join us.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work.
Thank you much. Thanks
so much, John.
Okay. Goodbye now.
Take care.
Take care.
Very cool.
And it makes us sound like we have a real program.
Well, it is.
Thanks, John.
Great to hear from John. Take care, brother.
Oh, cool. Yay.
And keep up the workbook lesson. Sounds like he's keeping on. That's great.
I mean, that is the key to the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, like we've talked about, just keep on trucking. For some people, you know, the workbook lessons take, they're meant to be done, you know, for a year, but it takes so many people well over a year. I mean, definitely took me well over a year. Sheldon, I think same for you, right?
Sure. I think it was about a year and a half or something.
Yep.
I mean, I when you were running the group and while I was starting, and you were, I think your suggestion was try to do 4 to 5 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, 4 to 5 a week it is. And that's pretty much what I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was about a year and a half or so. It might have been a little shorter. I wasn't really paying attention. But the lessons being the key to embodiment,
mm-hmm.
that's what I would say. The course, because it's kind of hard to understand and sort of complex, sometimes people get caught up in making it an intellectual process.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts in the mind and in that place, because that's where you are, or you believe you are, right? That's what it says. It meets you where you believe you are, and then it brings you through a process of unfolding and shifting. And so essentially that's a process from the mind down into the heart. And
exactly. And the cool thing with the lessons is even if you decide to do the workbook lessons, the 365, a second or third time, it just, every time you go through the cycle, once you get through that first, it seemed like the first 80 or 90 lessons, they just start to get easier and easier and easier. And then all of a sudden you're just really enjoying them. And that year just gets easier and easier and easier to get through. It's pretty amazing how that happens.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And then when you go back and read the text just gets easier to read. It's pretty amazing how that just, it's like your mind is getting like resorted and healed. Through the process.
Yeah. I just remember when I read the intro, and it's like, you don't have to like it. You don't have to understand it. You can be, disagree with it. In fact, you will actively, resist much of it. But if you do it, you will shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, because I had done, a bunch of meditation practices. I stood barefoot on these rocks, like the little fat Buddha with his hands over his head. I stood in that position, knees bent, for like 45 minutes to an hour every day for years. At that point, and done all kinds of these practices, and had some definite shifting and healing and stuff, right? But mm-hmm. I was just like, that's all I got to do? That's easy.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yep.
Not agree, not understand. Yeah. Piece of cake. I got this. This is for me.
Yeah, that's why I think
it was kind of funny. I was like, I don't have to understand it or like it. And just if I just do it, I'll have a shift. Heck yeah. I'll try that.
Yeah. That's why, like, I'm very fortunate for having learned like meditation, and for reading books like The Power of Now. That was like probably one of the first metaphysics books I read when I first started to get into all that stuff. But I always felt like, is that it? Just kind of being present. And once I got introduced to A Course in Miracles and realizing that my mind required healing, I'm like, oh, now I get it. That makes a lot more sense. Like, yes, it's helpful to have these tools because my mind is all over the place, but there's all this subconscious stuff going on that I'm not even aware of that requires all this healing. And that's why the workbook lessons are set up to help you heal your mind and then go out and practice this stuff in the real world, which right when you think you're done, you realize, oh, there's all these other things I get to work on, which I know I'm going through right now.
Which we all are, brother.
We all are, yep.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good times, good times.
And just like, I'm sure, you know, going back to the topic, you know, Jesus, if he were alive today and or his wife Mary, they'd be going through their version of it and if they were alive in this lifetime as well.
And demonstrating the presence of love in of unconditional, absolute love in form.
Yep.
In all of its beautiful frequencies and spectrums, meaning each one of us will embody that in our own unique way.
Yep.
And
exactly.
No two will look exactly the same, but all will be frequencies of radiance of light and love and kaleidoscopic beauty.
Exactly. And for those that aren't aware, actually, Course in Miracles author Gary Renard is actually the reincarnation of one of Jesus's apostles, Thomas. So it's kind of interesting to see that link. And he's actually visited by his past self as an ascended master. And now he's married to one of his, you know, it's, that whole story is really fascinating. But the cool thing is they shed this beautiful light in interpretation of A Course in Miracles through especially his first book, The Disappearance of the Universe. And for those that are new to A Course in Miracles might want to check that book out. It's what really opened my eyes to A Course in Miracles and helped me reinterpret it and really understand the book.
Right. I think there are a lot of people that came in to the course or came to better understanding through Disappearance of the Universe. And then there's a lot of people that came in or better level of understanding through Marianne Williamson's Return to Love.
Yep.
True. Right. It seems like those are the two main ones that seem to have helped a lot of people.
Yep. Or Ken Wapnick sometimes. Yep. As well. Yep. Exactly.
And then Wapnick's underneath all of that.
True. Yeah. Yep. It's unfortunate he's not with us anymore, but yeah, what an amazing mind he had. Yep.
Amazing mind, beautiful heart.
Beautiful heart, yep. And he has tons of material that's still available.
And yeah. That's the cool thing, I guess, is there's so much of it recorded and available now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Virtually all of it.
Yeah, audio, video, books, yep. I think it's Foundation for A Course in Miracles.
Foundation for Inner Peace.
Foundation for Inner Peace publishes A Course in Miracles.
And then Foundation for A Course in Miracles or
is the Ken Wapnick community. Yep.
Oh, cool.
And they used to kind of own A Course in Miracles publishing for a bit, but then it reverted back to Foundation for Inner Peace. Of course, yeah, all that community stuff.
Cool, cool.
And I think we're getting back to the top of our hour. I want to make sure we get enough time to talk about what's going on in your world, Sheldon, and tell everybody how to get in contact with us.
They can contact us through our we have a Facebook page too, right?
We do.
We never really mentioned that now that I think
I
about it.
I guess we don't. Yeah. Why don't? Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Hey, why not?
So, Of Course Radio, right?
Facebook is facebook.com Of Course Radio BBS.
Of Course Radio BBS. And you can
facebook.com/ Of Course Radio BBS.
But if you're on Facebook and you just search for groups and search for Of Course Radio, it'll come up.
Yep.
And you can connect that way. And
Website is, of course, radio.com.
Radio.com. And there's, you know, and like I was saying to John there, we have, I'm still running a group Wednesdays, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. And if anybody wanted to Skype into that, they could just reach out to us and we can, you know, get that thing set up. I'm still playing around with it, so it's not perfect, but we are working on getting that dialed in a little bit so that everybody can see everybody and all that kind of stuff. But it's kind of cool. Helps extend the reach a little bit for anybody that's interested in sharing and joining with us.
Sheldon, you do an outstanding job running the group, and looking forward to joining the next group.
Cool, cool, cool. Thank you. Yeah. Awesome. So what about you? You're working on the book?
That's about it. Yep. So it won't be out, you know, for probably about a year.
That's awesome. And you have your first book.
First book is Forgiveness Inc. On Amazon.com.
There you go.
About applying A Course in Miracles if you work at a corporate or a day job. So that's available on Amazon.
Like most of us.
Like most of us. Lucky individuals, yep.
Working away.
Working away, yep. So I think that wraps it up for this week. So we really appreciate everybody that's been listening, and we'll listen probably to the archive show. And Sheldon, once again, I love you very much, and thank you so much, brother, for being here and for all your love and support.
Love you, brother. All right, everybody out there who's listening, rock on.
Rock on. We love you.
Bye.
All right, bye.